We're going to be chatting to Dr. Guy Lam, who's been very patient, and I thank him for that. And you might have heard the news in EWN's bulletins that SAP's annual performance plan shows an intent to gradually decrease officer numbers. The minister has said, listen, he's engaging with them. He's not totally happy about it. But the plan is currently being tabled in Parliament, but there's already great concern about the impact that this would have in safety in your community. Robbie Roberts, Director of Policing in the Western Cape, or at least in the city of Cape Town, said this will be detrimental. He'd love to take the 3,000, he just doesn't have budget. So the State of Urban Safety Report is a research document which looks into crime hotspots and the causes behind why these areas are indeed crime hotspots. And joining you this morning on the line is Dr. Guy Lam, the co-director of UCT's Institute of Safety, Governance and Criminology. Dr. Lam, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Good morning, Kina.
So let's talk a little bit about the report. How did you go about putting this report together?
Well, this report is a product of the South African Cities Network, which brings together a number of cities across South Africa, and it sort of is represented. They have something called the Urban Safety Reference Group, which has the sort of key individuals in all of the 10 cities that are members of this particular network. And they come together to discuss common issues, challenges, programming around how to make their cities safer, how to prevent crime, how to reduce crime within their existing budgets and resources, and how they can build partnerships. So that's the context of this particular report. So the report is produced by the South African Cities Network, but they don't have a research capacity. So what they did is they contracted us at the University of Cape Town to assist them with doing some data, you know, kind of data crunching and data analysis. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of background to this report. So it was very much around how can we use existing data sources to create some useful data analysis and assessment for them at a city level, because what data we have at the moment, particularly around crime and violence, tends to be national or provincial. And that's not entirely helpful for mayors and for, correct, you know, those responsible for safety and security. So the idea was, can we be doing something that focuses on cities that provides city-level data and analysis that's helpful? Yes. And the key issue here is, particularly around crime stats, is they are not calculated at rates. So at the national level, up until a few years ago, the police were producing crime rates, so murder rates. So that is the number of crimes per 100,000 people. To give you an indication, is crime really going up or is it coming down? Mm. But we've never had something reliable at the city level. So what we tried to do, and it's not perfect, but it's the best effort so far, is to try and look across 9 of the cities that we did to look at what's happening crime violence perspective, but also where possible to look at other safety indicators.
How old's the data that's used? You know, that's the other thing, because obviously we live in today. You would have analyzed data that might be, I don't know, 3 months old, a year old. So let's talk a little bit about the data that you analyzed and how old that particular data is.
I mean, the data is SAPS data, so it's police data, which they release every year. So it's basically we're trying to understand trends there.
Okay.
So the kind of the sense of it around it's around showing trends in particular cities. What is thing is certain crimes getting better, getting worse? So it's not real time data. I mean, in some neighborhoods you have real time data, but it's not real time data. So it's really just looking at trends over the past 10 years, for example. And I mean, also with that particular data comes with the reliability issues. So, for example, we know from international studies and also in South African studies, victims of crime surveys, we know that murder data is relatively reliable because most people would report it or the police will discover a body.
Yes.
Where other categories of crime, it's less reliable. You know, for example, amongst the most unreliable crime stats is sexual violence, for example, because of very low reporting rate. And of course, you know, crimes across the city do vary. That, you know, in certain areas, you know, wealthier areas, certain crimes would be reported, such as if you're robbed on the street, you would generally report that to the police. Where if you're in Yango, it's a kind of a daily occurrence, and it's sort of, you know, in many cases, people just don't report it because it's pointless. They're not insured. They don't need a case number to claim back insurance. So that kind of contributes to reliability issues.
I want to get to the nub of it now. So you're sitting and listening to Dr. Guy Lamb at the moment. And you're going, okay, that sounds great, Kino, but how am I affected directly? So that might be a question you have in the car at the moment, and this is why we've got Dr. Guy Lamb on. The crime hotspots and then also the reasons behind why they are, which are some of the key questions that have been put. What do you have for us?
Well, I mean, I think it's really, let's kind of start it with Cape Town. I think kind of what this data has shown, actually, if you're looking at it, at crime rates, particularly at murder rates, is Cape Town has the highest murder rate of cities, of the nine cities we looked at. And I mean, it's certainly not been consistently the highest murder rate. It's only been in the past since about 2010, 2011, where Cape Town, so the murder rate has kind of ratcheted up by about 60% since 2010, 2011. And the kind of issue here is around, you know, what is actually happening here? And of course, we only have an incomplete picture about why kind of murder rates have been going up. But a key issue is that kind of corresponds with a point in time when around 2,000 firearms were injected directly into gangs in the Cape Flats. So there's been a series of stories that have been run by journalists.
Yes.
And there have been more than 1,000 murders that have been linked to those particular firearms in gang areas. And sort of those murder rates have largely been in places like Mitchell's Plain, Delft, Kryfontein, Bishop Lavis, Manenberg, Hanover Park, and a range of others. They're about even younger, there's sort of 10 policing precincts in Cape Town, which, you know, the kind of murder rates are extremely high. You know, more than 200 murders a year are taking place in these policing precincts. Yeah. So it's a sense of around what those guns have done is what we've sort of been able to ascertain from speaking to a range of people and sort of previous researchers. Those guns kind of changed gang dynamics and actually contributed to existing tensions and conflicts and have led to the kind of full-scale gang warfare that's happening at the moment. So that's kind of a key issue around safety in the city is the availability of firearms, because actually the police have done fairly good work up until 2010 in terms of mopping up a lot of illegal firearms that were in many of these high crime areas. And now, you know, you've introduced all these guns to the gangs and, you know, gangs are now kind of emboldened and fighting each other in more aggressive ways and changed their tactics. So that's kind of a key issue that's driving. Obviously, there's lots of other things such as youth unemployment, you know, kind of sort of issues around pro-violent masculinity. Alcohol is a big issue in terms of driving violence into personal violence within the province. But I mean, certainly what's made it significantly worse in the past few years is access and availability to illegal firearms.
But it certainly tells a tale of two cities. So if you live in and around the areas wracked by gang violence, you have obviously a very different experience to someone that lives in the suburbs, for example. Because I'm sure, and I don't have access to any data, and it's just because one compares living in Johannesburg to Cape Town, you feel safer in Cape Town suburbs, the leafier suburbs, if you like,
absolutely,
as opposed to Johannesburg's leafier suburbs. But it's that thorn, the gang thorn in the side.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of, I think it was the Independent Newspapers Group did a sort of a description, sort of a chronology of all the kind of cases that they've been able to sort of, you know, kind of uncover. And you kind of read this and it's the sense of in some areas like Hanover Park, it is pretty much like living in a war zone. You know, kids are getting shot in the crossfires, you know, kind of people are walking, you know, youth are walking to school and having to kind of duck as gangsters shoot at one another. So it is a completely different world, almost a completely different universe in some of these places. If you compare like a Bishop's Court to an Inyanga. I mean, I know it's not in these kind of cases, you know, both the city and certainly the police aren't ignoring these things. Mm. I know the city is investing a lot of resources in specific areas. I know, for example, Delft, they've got major plans to try and assist the community in improving safety. I know the police service are going to have a major focus on Inyanga and are actually working with civil society and researchers to try and understand why murder in Inyanga is so high and can we do anything about it.
It's and, you know, one gets this type of information and there are two ways of looking at it. You can crawl into a little thing, just crawl up tight and cry about it and feel, oh gosh, we are victim city. Or you can find solutions to this and say, okay, it's really urgent. We know where the hot spots are. We do a heat map on this, but how do we reduce the heat in those areas? But you need everybody to work together, not just government. You need big business because it's a socioeconomic issue as well. So everybody needs to come together to find innovative solutions to those challenges.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, I think there are attempts certainly within the city to look at that. How do we forge partnerships? Because it's about building trust between the city, between organizations within the community, whether they're neighborhood watches or street committees or community safety forums, with business. I mean, we know, for example, just by looking at what's been happening in Brazil, is just if you're able to bring about economic development and job opportunities to kind of some of the kind of their slum areas, which are known as the favelas, that you actually can reduce youth violence just by providing job opportunities. It has all these positive spin-offs from them, just about giving someone a sense of belonging, a sense of status, a sense of contributing to society. But in many of the places where the high levels of violence, there just isn't that.
I'd love to be solutions facing on this one. And I think, Dr. Lam, I think what one needs to do, and I'm happy to chat to you, you know, offline as well, is how does one take this information and start a movement that is positive in trying to address it? So, you know, great chatting to you. And thank you very much for that information this morning. Dr. Guy Lam there, co-director of the Institute of Safety, Governance and Criminology at UCT. How do you experience this, Cape Town? And knowing what you know about what the stats reveal, some of the solutions. How does one deal with that? I know people like Community Chest do a lot of great work.